Morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you today for our weekly Sunday gathering. We will begin in the way that we usually do by greeting one another on our sanctuary board while I play our theme song, We Are Awakening, by Deborah Pamell and Mitten.
The calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Throat's a little dry. I don't think I've had much to drink yet today. Let me take a big gulp before I continue. My dad always said the first thing you should do when you get up in the morning is drink a big glass of water. He said, your body is so much percent water. And at night, you sleep 8, 9 hours without any water, you dehydrate. He says the first thing your body needs in the morning is a big glass of water. And I'm still not following that advice. I start with a cup of coffee, which I guess actually dehydrates you more. So this is my first glass of water, Dad, even though I've been up for a few hours now. And here we go, following Dad's instructions a little late. My dad has always been a wise man. Yeah, he's been. I can't think of anything my dad has ever told me that wasn't wise. So, here we are. Let me start by beginning by bringing into our message the statement of purpose. I've also not been talking yet today, so I've been in contemplation. And sometimes to go from contemplation out is a bit of a struggle, right? I'm sure you guys know. So bear with me as I bring myself out. Maybe a little rough in the beginning. It's like, whoa, where am I and what am I doing? But let me begin with our statement of purpose. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And in case you haven't seen, the subject of today's gathering is reincarnation so? And the answer is actually in this statement of purpose. I'll read it again. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And we'll get to that a little more later. First, I have some announcements. This is the last week to register for True Meditation and for the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. Both classes will officially start on March 1. But since homework begins 1 week prior to that first class, homework begins late this week. The last day to register for True Meditation is this Wednesday. The last day to register for the teachings of Ramana Maharshi is this Thursday. If you feel you need help with meditation, True Meditation is the class to take. If you would like to learn more about Ramana Maharshi and self-inquiry, please take the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. In the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, one of the things that we do is we look at stories about Ramana Maharshi. Those stories can be helpful, just like looking at stories of Jesus can be helpful. You can learn more about both classes, and you can register for either by going to awakening-together.org and then looking underneath the retreats and classes menu, of course, under the classes portion of that menu. Again, this is the last week to register for either class. Homework begins this week. The classes will be held starting, you're asking me to do something from memory now that I didn't write down, Carla. I know they start on Thursday, March 1. They're in the evening, but for the exact time, why don't you go to the website, because I didn't write that down and my memory could be wrong. So go to the website, awakening-together.org, and look under retreats and classes, the classes menu. That's where all of the details are. Yeah, thank you. I just want to provide an update regarding the Italy pilgrimage. Yeah, Jay, that's the answer for one of the classes. Jay's provided the answer for the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, but then the True Meditation class begins at a different time, not the time that Jay gave. Yeah. So check the website out and you can get all that information. I want to give you guys an update on what's happening with the Italy pilgrimage. I have two quotes from two different travel agents. And each quote has different advantages and different disadvantages, but both quotes have to be either accepted or declined early next week. One quote expires on February 26th, and the other quote expires on February 28th, which means this week I will be making a decision. There's just no doubt about that. And so soon we will have an itinerary, and I will begin putting it on the website. Just to give you an idea of some of the things that I'm looking at, one of the quotes, they can't guarantee the price because they say it fluctuates based on the exchange. So they can give us the price based on the current exchange rate, but when the time comes that we pay, it will be based on the current exchange rate then. And it's a little tough to quote a price to you That may change. We'd have to say approximately this price. That's a little tough. Also, that same group will not take us to Pompeii. They'll spend 2 days in Rome instead of a day in Rome and a day in Pompeii. And Pompeii is much more important to our spiritual contemplation than many people may imagine. In fact, Pompeii is probably one of the most important days of the entire trip. One of the gut-hitting, reality check, let's look at the truth days. And although they've offered us another day of beautiful churches, I feel like 1 day of beautiful churches is enough. I don't think we need 2 days of beautiful churches. So I feel that's a bit of a disadvantage to their itinerary. But one of the two great advantages to their itinerary, one is they do three pickups at the airport, taking us to the hotel, and the airport and the hotel are fairly far from each other. They do three different pickups. So, some people could arrive in the morning, some in the afternoon, and some in the evening, and everybody get there. Also, although it sounds like a disadvantage, I perceive it as an advantage. They ended up not being able to do the extension trip. They could only do the first week. And so I found a retreat center in Assisi that's beautiful, and we could just do our second week there at the retreat center. Now, again, there's some logistical challenges, like how would we get back to the airport and stuff like that. But still, that retreat center is lovely and very tempting. So that's one quote. Again, the disadvantages were they can't guarantee the price. It's based upon pay. The advantages might be the three pickups at the airport, and then we do that last week, the extension at this gorgeous retreat center. The other quote does include an extension trip. It does include Pompeii. The price is guaranteed and won't change. But they only do one pickup at the airport, which is more challenging since we're coming from many different places. I've sent them a question asking how much more would it be for additional pickups. I haven't got an answer yet. But the original quote only included one pickup at the airport. They do have an extension trip, so we don't have to figure out the logistics of the extension. And the majority of the days at the extension trip are just at a hotel in Assisi, not at a retreat center, but at a hotel in Assisi, free days, and we can, go about as we want. And meditate, contemplate. Everybody can do their own thing. It also includes a day up to a monastery. I'm told a lovely monastery that Saint Francis used to go to, and a little short trip to Florence, which some people may want to see while in Italy. And it includes another day down south on the way back to Rome to another place where Saint Francis spent a significant amount of time. So it has a couple more Saint Francis stops and a few, three or four free days in Assisi. Everything's all buttoned up and tied up. It does include Pompeii. The biggest challenge there is the one pickup at the airport. Also, I'm not real crazy about their hotel choice in Rome, although I love their hotel choice in Assisi. I think the opposite is true for the other two, or I love their hotel choice in Rome, and I'm not as crazy about Assisi. So again, these are the things that I am looking at, contemplating, waiting for some answers on some questions from each tour guide, and everything will fall into place by the end of this week, and I'll know which choice I'm making, and I will make it. So I just wanted to let you guys know where that is. So moving on. So the movie discussion group is next week. Next week is the fourth Sunday in February. If you haven't seen the movie yet, it's called The Legend of Bagger Vance, and it is a very, very good movie, one of my very favorite spiritual movies. Actually, it's not intended to be a spiritual movie, but it is a spiritual movie. And maybe it's intended somewhat to be a spiritual movie. It's starring Matt Damon and Will Smith. And Jacqueline has made a movie play sheet that we can watch the movie with to really help us contemplate as we watch the movie. So we have information to bring back to the movie discussion group next week. But realize, of course, you're not limited to the questions on the movie discussion group. Really, what you want to do is pray before you watch the movie, ask to see whatever is most helpful for you to see, and then watch. And I like to watch the movie alone because then I can stop it and take notes. If I'm watching it with other people, I feel like I have to let the movie keep going. Ron doesn't want me to stop it every 5 minutes or whatever. So I like to watch the movie alone. But you know, you do it however you want to do. But please watch the movie The Legend of Bagger Vance and come back next week at the movie discussion group and be willing to share what you saw in the movie. Now, the way that you find the playlist as well as other information about the movie, well, Ken just put a link in the sanctuary. But if you're listening on the radio or to a recording later, you can just go to awakening-together.org. And underneath Things to Read, you'll find Awakening Together News. And if you click on Awakening Together News, it's just like two or three posts down about the Legend of Bagger Vance. You click on that post, and you'll find the play sheet with the questions to contemplate as you watch the movie, as well as more information about the movie. I also just want to mention, since I looked at the Things to Read menu today to get information about the Bagger Vance movie, I happened to notice the inspirational articles link, which I always knew it was there, but I just hadn't thought about lately. Awakening Together does have a blog of inspirational articles, and all members are invited to submit articles to be posted under that link. If you go to awakening-together.org, click on Things to Read, you'll see inspirational articles. Just click there, and right there on that page, you'll find a link to the submission guidelines. The primary purpose of submission guidelines are to make sure that articles are aligned with our purpose and values, but you can go there and read those for yourself and then submit an article, for the blog, for the Inspirational Articles blog. You can also go there and read what's already been posted. We've been posting articles there for nearly 5 years. Do you guys realize that this coming July, will be Awakening Together's 5-year anniversary? So there's a lot of articles that have already been posted over our nearly 5-year history, including articles by Reverend Hank Hamilton, Adyashanti, a lot of articles by Chris Saleem, Reverend Sherry Daves, Carol Howe, Brent Haskell, Liz Cronkite, Michael Langford, Reverend David Hempel, Reverend Rebecca Gibson, Reverend Hal Seeley, Reverend Danielle Wright, Reverend Gloria Wells, Reverend Karen Worth, Carla Mell, Jan Fraser, and many more. I know I left people out, but like the list was so long, I just thought, okay, I better stop now. So check it out. You could write an article, a poem, or you can submit something written by a master. But of course, if you submit something written by a master that you would like us to post, please give us accurate copyright information, like what book did you take it from or what website, because we need to include that information when we post it. So please go check out Awakening Together's inspirational articles under Things to Read. So now we are going to begin the what I call the inspirational part of our gathering. And again, today's question is reincarnation so? So the first song that I have selected is a romantic love song, really about reincarnation, and maybe even has the idea of soulmates buried into the song, although it never says that. This song was written by and it's sung by Laurent Elie Levy, which some of you guys may know. I spent about a year and a half in relationship with him once. And this song is it's a very romantic song, and it's the kind of song that minds really love to believe in. So why don't we start there, and then we will move forward. So here we are in Another Place in Time by Laurent Elie Levy.
Pardon me for asking, have we met before? I felt it from the moment you walked through the door. There's something so familiar, I just can't recall. But my heart keeps telling me I've seen you somewhere. against all night. Have I looked into your eyes a thousand times? How could I forget you? Surely I have met you in another place and time. Maybe it was Paris by the River Seine, sharing in a stolen kiss. Could it have been London in the pouring rain that might explain why I feel? Have you ever spent another life with me? Have I felt this way all through eternity? Is history repeating, or is it deja vu? What is it I remember when I look at you? Did we meet before? And did it feel the same? In some other land or with some other name? How could I forget you? Surely I have met you in another place and
why don't we go from there into prayer? The prayer is a prayer of purpose. The sincere desire of the heart. It's a prayer to see and recognize truth as it is. Without asking truth to take on some form that pleases our mental fantasies. It's a prayer to mature beyond imagination. And it's a prayer to see the glory in truth, and to embrace it. And be grateful for it exactly as it is. Amen. So next, what I would like to do is I would like to say a thank you to Lynn. She's going to be my reader, but I just want to tell you guys a brief little story first. Whenever I select a reader, I like to try and involve someone in the weekly gathering that isn't typically involved. In fact, that was really the purpose of having the reader in the first place. And so I don't usually think of Lynn, because Lynn is typically involved in the weekly gathering. I think the only minister who doesn't use her for music is me, because I enjoy selecting my own music. But, you know, she gets to be the musical director nearly every week. And so I don't look to her. I scan the list of names in the room, and I try to find someone who hasn't participated in a weekly gathering yet and invite them in. That's how I do it. We do have an Awakening Together minister who lives here in Pueblo that I haven't even seen in the sanctuary in a while, a little over a year. So I asked her if she would like to be the reader. And She actually has a new job and works on Sundays, so she can't. And after that, I emailed someone else, and that person, I think, didn't see my email and didn't get back to me as a result. So, in a pinch, third choice, I went to Lynn. And I went to Lynn because I knew she would be an easy yes, and I was running out of time, and I needed an easy yes. Yeah, a pinch hitter. But I still want to express gratitude for that. You know, it's just nice to know that there are these people that you know you can count on. And Lynn is one of those people. So thank you, Lynn. And with that said, I'm going to turn the mic over to Lynn. She will read from A Course in Miracles Manual for Teachers, Is Reincarnation So?
All right, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? And thank you, Regina. Very good. All right. And you know, I was thinking the same thing. I thought, well, you know, you can always call on me. I will always be there for you, unless I'm dead or in a ditch or something. But even then, you know, I've tried. Even when I had that accident, I was here, like in the hospital. So, yeah. It's insanity, or it's dedication, or it's devotion, and I think it's devotion. That's my take. From the Manual for Teachers, from the Course in Miracles, section 24, is reincarnation so? In the ultimate sense, reincarnation is impossible. There is no past or future, and the idea of birth into a body has no meaning, either once or many times. Reincarnation cannot, then, be true in any real sense. Our only question should be, is the concept helpful? And that depends, of course, on what it is used for. If it is used to strengthen the recognition of the eternal nature of life, it is helpful indeed. Is any other question about it really useful in lighting up the way? Like many other beliefs, it can be bitterly misused. At least such misuse offers preoccupation and perhaps pride in the past. At worst, it induces inertia in the present. In between, many kinds of folly are possible. I love Jesus' sense of humor. Reincarnation would not, under any circumstances, be the problem to be dealt with now. If it were responsible for some of the difficulties the individual faces now, his task would be only to escape from them now. If he is laying the groundwork for a future life, he can still work out his salvation only now. To some, there may be comfort in the concept, and if it heartens them, its value is self-evident. It is certain, however, that the way to salvation can be found by those who believe in reincarnation and by those who do not. The idea cannot, therefore, be regarded as essential to the curriculum. There is always some risk in seeing the present in terms of the past. There is always some good in any thought which strengthens the idea that life and the body are not the same. For our purposes, it would not be helpful to take any definite stand on reincarnation. A teacher of God should be as helpful to those who believe in it as to those who do not. If a definite stand were required of him, it would merely limit his usefulness as well as his own decision-making. Our course is not concerned with any concept that is not acceptable to anyone, regardless of his formal beliefs. His ego will be enough for him to cope with, and it is not the part of wisdom to add sectarian controversies to his burdens. Nor would there be an advantage in his premature acceptance of the course merely because it advocates a long-held belief of his own. It cannot be too strongly emphasized that this course aims at complete reversal of thought. When this is finally accomplished, issues such as the validity of reincarnation become meaningless. Until then, they are likely to be merely controversial. The teacher of God is therefore wise to step away from all such questions, for he has much to teach and learn apart from them. He should both learn and teach that theoretical issues waste time, draining it away from its appointed purpose. If there are aspects to any concept or belief that will be helpful, he will be told about it. He will also be told how to use it. What more does he need to know? Does this mean that the teacher of God should not believe in reincarnation himself or discuss it with others who do? The answer is certainly not. If he does believe in reincarnation, it would be a mistake for him to renounce the belief unless his internal teacher so advised. And this is most unlikely. He might be advised that he is misusing the belief in some way that is detrimental to his pupil's advance or his own. Reinterpretation would then be recommended because it is necessary. All that must be recognized, however, is that birth was not the beginning and death is not the end. Yet even this much is not required of the beginner. He need merely accept the idea that what he knows is not necessarily all there is to learn. His journey has begun. The emphasis of this course always remains the same. It is at this moment that complete salvation is offered you, and it is this moment that you can accept it. This is still your one responsibility. Atonement might be equated with total eclipse from the past and total lack of interest in the future. Excuse me, that was escape. Atonement might be equated with total escape from the past and total lack of interest in the future. Heaven is here. There is nowhere else. Heaven is now. There is no other time. No teaching that does not lead to this is of concern to God's teachers. All beliefs will point to this if properly interpreted. In this sense, it can be said that their truth lies in their usefulness. All beliefs that lead to progress should be honored. This is the sole criterion this course requires. No more than this is necessary. And thank you so much for letting me read that, Regina. I'm giving you back the mic.
Thank you very much, Lynn. I remember the first time I read this is reincarnation. So I was with a friend that I worked with. This was prior to when I perceived myself as having really started the spiritual path. It was like the first time I picked up the course, which was back in the early 1990s. Picked it up for a while and then laid it down again. So it was during that time. But I was looking at the course. I joined a little course group. And a friend of mine from work joined with me. So I was looking at the course with this friend from work. And at this point in my life, I had a Christian upbringing, so really did not believe in reincarnation. You know, I believed in heaven, not hell. I'd already transcended the hell belief, but not the heaven belief yet. And my friend was more into, you know, like Buddhism type beliefs and stuff like that. And she did believe in reincarnation. So we're in this course group. And we read, is reincarnation so? And I'll remember it struck me when she and I were leaving and we had a discussion about that. It really struck me that to me it was clear as day that these words had said reincarnation is not so. And yet to her, it was clear as day that these words had said reincarnation is so. And I remember just being struck by that. Like we just read the exact same words together. And we heard two different messages. Very important right there, that point. But moving on, because it wasn't a part of my prior belief system, I didn't really take much stock in reincarnation. Until later, when I was, you know, more securely on the spiritual path, and I was going through A Course in Miracles workbook for the first time. One day I was contemplating one of the lessons that you're supposed to contemplate hourly or half hourly or something like that. throughout the day. I was in my office with my door closed, contemplating one of the lessons. And I had what appeared to be a memory of a previous lifetime. And I remember it was such a clear memory, but it was definitely not this lifetime. I was a young black girl. I lived in a cabin on a plantation, but it was not formally slavery time anymore. I just knew that it was shortly after what was formally slavery time. I have to use that word formally. And I lived with my grandmother and my uncle in this cabin that had no windows. Just the logs were put up in a doorway and a roof, dirt floor. And my grandmother was very mean, very, very mean. And my uncle was very gentle. And in this memory, she took a cast iron frying pan, and I don't remember what she was angry at, but she started beating him. And he, even though this really hurt a lot, he was not going to fight back. He was not going to fight this little old woman. So he was just trying to protect himself, get away, you know, putting his hands up, asking her to stop. And I couldn't take it. I was very young. I would say I was probably 11 or 12. And I just ran out of the cabin, just ran out into the sunshine and was crying. And that's the memory. And so when this memory came, you know, the question then for the first time entered my mind is, and so, you know, I just had this memory of the lifetime that, you know, again, lots of people like to imagine or remember themselves as somebody famous, but here I was, if you'll pardon the expression, just a, you know, a meaningless little girl, you know, certainly not remembered by history, not thought about probably by many people in her lifetime, died and long forgotten, right? And I've had a couple other memories since then. But there was always something in me that whenever I would start looking towards reincarnation as if, you know, this is something that I should believe, that I should pay attention to, there was always something in me that intuitively whispered no. I heard Kate Greaves say the same thing here a week or two ago. She was talking about something that came up for her that appeared to be a memory, and she commented that she had received that same guidance, just not to look any further in that direction, kind of a no to looking into ideas of previous lifetimes. And the other day I was listening to Jacqueline Eckert teaching. And Jacqueline Eckert at one point kind of expressed in a very passionate way, it was really cute, she said, either we're one or we're not. Right? Either we're one or we're not. It's interesting that if you look at is reincarnation so in A Course in Miracles, the very first sentence is, in the ultimate sense, reincarnation is impossible. Impossible, it says. It's also interesting to note of the second paragraph says, there is always some good in any thought which strengthens the idea that life and the body are not the same. And when, you know, I mentioned that when what appeared to be memories of previous lifetimes began to arise, there was also this guidance not to look any further in that direction, not to think about it, not to obsess about it, not to say, oh, I was, right? Although I have failed sometimes on that account when telling those stories. But the guidance was clear. Yet I think the guidance from this sentence is also clear. Again, this sentence says, there is always some good in any thought. That's not the part I'm paying attention to. This is the part I think is important, which strengthens the idea that life and the body are not the same. When I look at those words, life and the body are not the same, that's where the big yes comes from. Now, of course, the Course talks about how it's not helpful to attempt to strip away somebody's beliefs, and I'm not here to do so. But just as I have always taught from the leading edge of my own contemplation, I cannot help but come here today and teach from the leading edge of my own contemplation. And when I did start the spiritual path, or even before I started the spiritual path, way back when I was 28 or 29 years old, but I consider this a start, I said a prayer. And the prayer was, please show me the truth. I don't care what it is. And in that prayer, I was saying it doesn't have to meet my mental fantasies of what I want the truth to be. Heck, it could even be completely disappointing. I just want to know what's true. And I certainly feel that I am genuinely getting closer and closer to that realization. And I can tell you that my mind doesn't like it. And so it's possible that your mind won't like it too. Maybe even probable. But the truth is the truth. And the only thing that doesn't like the truth is the idea of me. Me as a body, personality, mind, or at least, if you take the body away, personality, mind, or at least if you take the personality away, mind. Let me be a mind, or some people might use the word soul. Let me be something. Something that in some way continues to exist. And this is where it gets tough to talk because, you know, people always say the truth transcends words, and it does. All words can be misheard. But that idea of a something, that me, you know, we'll call that a me. That is not the truth. That is a temporary manifestation. A made-up manifestation that is temporarily experienced, and then it ends. It's not what we are. It's not what's eternal. And it doesn't reincarnate. What we are has nothing to do with a me. Nothing at all to do with a me. It's amazing. It's completely beyond any sense of me-ness. And it's absolutely eternal. And it doesn't need to reincarnate because it never has any type of ending. It never changes in any way. I'm going to read something to you. This is somebody else's expression. I could share my expression of this, but to be honest, I think my expression is a little harder to envision, even though it's what came to me. And I think this person's expression is easier to envision than my own. And so I'm going to share it. This is from a student of a man named Floyd Henderson. You may have heard his name lately, because both Jacqueline and I are reading his book, The Advanced Seekers series. Floyd Henderson was a student of Nisargadatta Maharaj, and Floyd Henderson is going to be our satsang guest in March. So this is a student of Floyd Henderson at his house for an extended satsang, which I think happened over many, many weeks. Oh, in case you're wondering what that loud noise was, that was my calendar telling me that President's Day is tomorrow. and so the student, after attending this long satsang over many, many weeks, at some point, the realization begins about the difference between an idea of me as a soul or a mind or some kind of ongoing being and the truth, which is beyond all me-ness, all me, right? Beyond any idea of me. And this is the way the student expresses it. Say I have an ice cube. And of course, the ice cube here represents the me, right? Say I have an ice cube and I melt it in a glass. And then I pour that water into the ocean. Then, if I immediately scoop up that water, I might get some of the water used to make the original cube and some water from the ocean that was not used before. Then I can take that water home, freeze it, and make another cube. Part of that water that took the shape of the original cube is in the new cube, but not all of it. The new cube might have some water that had cubeness before, and some water that never left the ocean before, but is now manifested into the space or shape of a cube. Okay, I'm going to read that again, only this time I'm going to change some of the words. Remember, the question is reincarnation so? Listen to this clarity. Say I have a me. And that me ends, what we call physical death. And that me is absorbed into the light that we call consciousness or God. If immediately there is a birth and some of the energy of the new me comes from that exact same moment of absorption into consciousness, then some of the consciousness that was used to make the previous me, and some consciousness that's from the light of consciousness that's maybe never been a me before, could both get pulled into the me that is being born, the new me. That means that the new me could have a portion of consciousness that has experienced previous me-ness, and it could have a portion of consciousness that has never experienced me-ness before. And now, temporarily, it is a me. So does that mean that you or I, singular soul that travels through time, having many births and many deaths, many physical appearances, many personalities, many experiences, but somehow is still a me, a consistent, ongoing me? Or does that mean that there is no truth to the idea of an ongoing soul at all? Now that I've read that to you, I'll just explain the image as it came to me prior to reading this. Like I said, I read this and I thought, oh, that's a better image. But I'll tell you the image that came to me. And this actually came to me back in either late, probably early 2005. I was still living in Boston. I hadn't even moved to North Carolina yet. I was still working. In fact, I remember exactly where I was sitting. I happened to be in an Italian restaurant, which probably is, led to this image. I was in an Italian restaurant called Luigi's with Ron and Jasmine. And suddenly I saw, I didn't even know the word then, consciousness, but I saw consciousness as a ball of dough. Again, I was in an Italian restaurant eating spaghetti, so a ball of dough. And what happened, without a hand pinching it or anything, just kind of nature pinched and pulled out of that ball of dough a long noodle. It didn't break it off from the ball of dough, it just kind of pulled it out. So if you imagine a ball of dough with a long noodle pulled out, and that noodle represented a me. Then after a time, that noodle was pressed back into the ball of dough. And then right there, which you could call a similar spot on the ball of dough, but not exactly the same spot, another noodle was pulled out and push back in. And then another place, completely different place, on the opposite side of the ball of dough, another noodle pulled out and pushed back in. But it became apparent through that image that the only thing that was genuine, real, lasting, ongoing was the ball of dough or consciousness. And that the noodles were just temporary, in this case, extensions of it that came and came and went back in. You see how it's the same as the story of the cube that got melted and tossed into the ocean and then quickly scooped up again? Of course, it's also possible that a cube could get melted and get completely dissolved into the ocean and not be scooped up as another me for a very, very long time, if ever again. The Course uses a term called level confusion. Level confusion is the idea that I am a me. It's not what we are. We are consciousness. And all kinds of manifestations arise from us and in us. Some are very, very temporary, like the spider I saw crawling across the living room floor today, a leaf on a tree. Some have longer existence, like a human. And some have even longer existence, like a planet, a mountain, a rock. But they're all just noodles or ice cubes. They're not all me's. But they are all temporary manifestations of consciousness, with the reality being the consciousness. That's what we are. We're not human. I learned that when I had the experience of temporarily shifting my awareness into an apple. I've tried, of course, explaining what this experience was like, but the only way to really know what it was like is to have a similar experience. But what I was, there was no me in the apple, right? No me in the apple. What I was had zero comparison to humanness, except for one: isness. As the apple, I was, or if in present tense we would say, I am. Humans, I am. I remember one guy, after I had the experience of being an apple, He wrote to me, by the way, Dove, this was the guy in the park that you were talking about the other day. He wrote to me and he said, can you become a piece of celery? I'd like to see what it's like to be a piece of celery. Of course, I told him I can't. I didn't even make myself become the apple. I said, but my guess is the piece of celery is the same as being an apple. It's a manifestation without meanness, but it has awareness, it has isness. You see, that's what we are. That's what's ongoing. That's what we're waking up to. And that's what the mind doesn't like. Because the mind wants to be me. The mind does not like the truth. I'll say that again. The mind does not like the truth. But guess what? That mind going to end anyway. And the truth of consciousness that we are is going to continue and manifest in innumerable ways anyway. Like it doesn't really matter what the heck the mind wants because it's all just mental activity. It's all just, well, crap. The truth is true whether the mind likes it or not. The question becomes, are we too afraid of reality to accept the truth as it is? Do we prefer to believe the mind because we feel more comfortable? Even though we know. And somewhere inside us, we all know, no matter how much we've denied it, it's there, that this body, personality, mind is going to end. I think recently in a teaching, it might have been gentle healing, I remember hearing myself say, we're supposed to be adults. Why are we living with so much pretending? Are we that afraid? Is it really fearful to think that you are ongoingness that manifests as human and animal and plants and, mountains and planets and stars and that it goes on and on and on and on? Like, what's so bad about being a leaf or a spider? What's so great about being a human? I mean, yeah, it's wonderful. It is wonderful. I like this human experience. But we know that there are plenty of human, and I like, let me rephrase that. I'm not going to rephrase that. I'm going to reemphasize that. I like this human experience. Like this Regina human experience is pretty good. But we all know that not all human experiences are this sweet. A leaf probably has a much better existence than the average human. And consciousness is all of it. And that's what we are. And that's our truth. It's like being the paint, trying to say, I am the tree that was painted. We're the paint. We're the paint. So where did my memory come from? I don't know. Maybe the mind made it up that day, as real as it felt. Maybe that's a memory in consciousness, and a part of this current me has had that experience, and therefore it is kind of a memory. But it doesn't mean that I, everything that I am today, that this body, mind, soul was that little girl. Consciousness. The little girl was consciousness, was the little girl, and I am consciousness. level confusion is thinking you're the ice cube when you're the water, thinking you're the noodle when you're the dough, thinking you're the mind when you're consciousness. So as the Course says at the very beginning of Is Reincarnation So? In the ultimate sense, reincarnation is impossible. The idea of birth into a body has no meaning, either once or many times. So this is just for contemplation. It's not for anything else, but if you're interested in knowing the truth, consider these words that were shared today. If you really want the truth over preferred fantasies that can never be true, no matter how much you like them, consider this. Contemplate it. If it's true, you will see it and know it within yourself. It will be so incredibly confirmed that you can't imagine you ever denied it. It'll make all of the previous fantasies about truth seem like children's play. And your mind won't like it. But your heart will rejoice. With that, I'm going to play a song that you've heard many times before. You heard it this morning when I came into the sanctuary. Ken was playing it. But I'm going to ask you to listen to it a little more carefully today in the light of today's message. It's a song by Kirtana, and it's called Who You Really Are.
Could there be more to this life we call mine than a journey through space? For a storyline, more to life than the body can sense, than the mind can conclude from experience. Who we are, begin with breath, depend on form, or end with death. Strip away these roles, these names, and tell me what remains. Measure success by the things we accrue, or the bonds that we form, or the deeds we do. These two shall pass. Who we think we are. This is your lifetime. It could end at any time. Where's your attention? Where is your prayer? Where is your song? Fortune and life comes a call to be free from the cycle of bondage, misidentity. To wake from the dream, you finally truth of one's being before the body dies. So before the final scene is past, see the screen on which it is cast. See what seeing this beyond you.
Maybe some of you see now why I think Pompeii is an important part of our Italy pilgrimage. I mean, when you go to Pompeii and you see where individual me's, their life ended so quickly, and you can see where, you know, they poured casts, you know, within the space that was left when their bodies disintegrated, and you can literally see like the expressions on their face and the positions their bodies were in, and contemplate that immediate unexpected death, and contemplate what ends and what continues while you're facing it, right? And, you know, Ramana Maharshi, his awakening that he had as a teenager, that's what happened to him. He had a fear of death come over him, and he knew that right then he had to contemplate what ends and what continues. That's what we're talking about. What ends and what continues? So who knows, maybe I'll accept the proposal that includes Pompeii, because this is the core of the truth. 2 days at churches are sweet, but you can spend 2 days in churches and maybe avoid this core. I did forget to say, if you'd like to donate, please do. Ken did provide the link, but you all know that Awakening Together survives on your donations, and so we appreciate your donations whenever you make them. What I would like to do now is just open it up for sharing. Who has something to say after today's meeting? All right, Ruby, the mic is yours.
Hello, that was a lovely message. I've had some experiences too that I'd like to share. Well, first of all, I'd like to share about this book that I read. It was an autobiography. It was a true book. It was about a person's experience. And it was about this woman's husband, if I can remember it, had a heart issue, and he needed a heart. And this was maybe back in the late 90s, or Yeah, the late 90s. So he had a heart issue. And so they found a heart for this guy. And it's a true story. It was a book about her experience. So the heart came from, to make a short, a long story short, a heart came from this young guy who got killed on a motorcycle. But she didn't know that because she didn't know that because they keep it secret, like adoption. They don't let you know about the, you know, about whose heart it is. But anyway, so she noticed in her husband some different things, like he started liking Kentucky Fried Chicken, and he loved to go to this fast food place and get the chicken. And he had some other quirky things that started coming up. Like, it was just really out of character for him. All these different things started coming up. So she had read in that she was trying to find out about who was the donor for some reason. I don't know. It was so odd. So she started looking at newspapers. And the old newspapers, and she found out this young guy in her community had a car accident, and it was the same day that he had the heart transplant, because you have to keep those hearts, fresh. So she looked the guy's parents up, because I guess her husband had so much strong differences that were so, alarming. So anyway, she looked up the family, and the mother came, and they noticed that they had a conversation with her husband and stuff like that. Or I think it was her child. Maybe it was her child. I'm sorry. Her child. And they had so many resemblance to her son that it was unbelievable. Like, he liked to do certain things that his son liked to do. He even used certain statements or words. He was using some of the words too. So anyway, that was very interesting about that story. So, the other thing I'd like to share, I've had several of those, I had several of those, reincarnation experience. But one of them was, because I read Many Lives, Many Masters, just after I had my stroke. And, my stroke had taken out my thinking mind, my intellectual, my memory. So anyway, I was kind of really open. So I looked at this, I read this book, and then I had this experience that I was in Bisbee, and I was a mine owner, and I was very wealthy, and I had this this place, and the house was very obvious. I mean, you could see the house, the car that I was in. The address of the house was in it. It was just so real. And so I was this mine owner, and I had this one black guy that was that works for me, and that he had died in the mine. It was kind of like my fault or something. So I was feeling a lot of sadness about this. So I'm going to let go of the mic and let someone else tell a story. Thank you very much.
Actually, before I pass the mic, Jay and Carla are waiting, and we do very much want to hear what they have to say. But we also have a commitment to end our weekly gatherings on time. So what I'm going to do is formally end our weekly gathering, and then we will move on to our 30-minute fellowship time afterwards, and Jay and Carla can share there. And Jay, I saw you just put your hand down and back up, so Jay, you'll have the mic first. Let me end with just a portion of a song, which again, this song, the reason I selected it is to focus us on the fact that we're not the me, we're the consciousness, and that the consciousness that we are is in everything, no matter what we look at, a leaf, a desk, a spider, you know, another person. What we're really looking at is a manifestation of what we are. And so I have selected a song that will help remind us of that. It's called Face of God by Karen Drucker. Closer to on time. And thank you all for coming today. I will turn the mic over to Jay, and I turn facilitation over to Rebecca, and I will hang out for a few minutes, but then I need to go because Ron has breakfast waiting upstairs. Bye-bye.